Well, if by a wormhole, what you mean is some kind of topological multi-connectedness of a Cauchy surface, then it's relatively easy, even for a mathematically not particularly arbitrarily advanced civilization, to construct space-time with wormholes. Now, of course, there's a lot of problems with what happens to them as you go into the future, and I'm going to completely ignore that issue today. What I want to talk about is primarily initial data, and I in particular want to address the following question. Say you're given a solution of Einstein's equations, again focusing on initial data. Can we find another solution which is largely unchanged except that for some arbitrary pair of points, you can add a wormhole? So the answer is yes, and we have a theorem. This is work with Rafe Mazzeo, Dan Pollack, and me, and this is a rough statement of it. So you have some set of initial data, I'll go into that in a few minutes, almost any solution of the Einstein constraints, then you choose any pair of points, then there will exist a solution of the Einstein constraints, which will be away from a little ball around these points, will be essentially unchanged, and yet we'll have a wormhole connecting those two points. I might add that this work was originally thinking in terms of connecting, in terms of taking two disjoint solutions and just connecting them. But you can think of it either way. The theorem is essentially the same. So let me just give you a quick outline of what I'll say, how the talk will go. I'll first remind you a little bit about the conformal method for finding solutions of the Einstein constraints, then say something about the gluing idea in general, which is at least is mathematically a fairly quite successful technique in general. Then I'll state our result more carefully, a little bit about how the proof works, and then mention briefly open questions. So the conformal method is due to Lichnerowicz, okay, Bruha, York, Omurhu, me and some others. The goal is to find a solution of the constraints, and this generalizes to if there's matter around. But let's just for convenience assume that we're working with vacuum. So one wants to find a gamma, which is a Riemannian metric, and K, which is a symmetric two-tensor, which satisfy these constraints. And one does it by first choosing an arbitrary Riemannian metric, which will be conformally related to the one we have in the end, a scalar field, which amounts to the mean curvature, and a symmetric two-tensor field, which is divergence-free and trace-free with respect to the Riemannian metric lambda that you chose. You then solve a coupled elliptic system of equations. This is an elliptic operator on this vector field W, an elliptic operator on a scalar field phi that you want to be positive definite because it's going to be the conformal factor, and you have this coupled system that some of you have seen, and those of you who haven't, I'm not going to explain it carefully right now. So if you can solve those equations, then you can construct gamma and k out of the stuff that you started with, namely lambda, sigma, and tau, and along with the stuff that you solved for, phi and w, and you get a solution to the constraints. So mathematically, this method works quite well, especially in the constant mean curvature case. That is, if you choose tau to be equal to a constant for essentially every choice of the conformal data, lambda, sigma, and tau, you can solve these constraints and obtain a solution. I mean, you can solve those elliptic equations and obtain a solution of the Einstein constraints. A much more interesting question that has not been addressed adequately, I think, is the physical aspect, and that is how do you use lambda, sigma, and tau to build the solution you want. But again, I'm not going to say anything about that today. So from the point of view of this scheme of constructing solutions, again, constructing solutions which have relatively complicated topology, multi-connectedness, which you would interpret as a wormhole, is generally straightforward. But what I want to discuss is this idea of starting with a solution and adding a wormhole by gluing it on. So the gluing idea in general is roughly this. So one starts with some pair of manifolds, which might be connected on the other side. Again, let's not worry about it. And some geometric structure on each of them, which might be sort of a connection, or might be a Riemannian metric, it might be extrinsic curvature, whatever. But one wants this to satisfy some sort of a condition, usually elliptic in most of the cases in which this has been applied. So you have a solution of some geometric, say for example, Euclidean Yang-Mills or constant scalar curvature. You have one solution here, another solution here, and you want to join them. So topologically, you do that by connected sum. So that means you choose a point on each, you scoop a little ball out, and then put a little cylinder connecting them up. That's the manifold. And then you do some sort of an extension of the geometry on the geometric stuff that either the connection or the Riemannian metric or whatever, you extend that onto the wormhole, and then you argue that you can do it in such a way that it satisfies the condition that you're interested in, and away from where you did the gluing, away from quite small ball around it, the geometric structure is again essentially unchanged. And this has been, a very successful mathematical tool for things like Yang-Mills, Euclidean Yang-Mills, and also for things like constant scalar curvature manifolds. So that's the general idea of the gluing method. So our results, a little more carefully, can be stated as follows. So we're assuming that we have a set of initial data. Sigma is the manifold, gamma and k are the initial data, which satisfy the constraints, constant mean curvature, no conformal killing vector fields, and where we can work with either the sigma being compact or asymptotically Euclidean or asymptotically hyperbolic. Choose any pair of points, and then we can find a one-parameter family parameterized by this parameter S, which has the wormhole glued on, satisfies the constraints for all values of S, and as S approaches whatever, some limit, again away from the wormhole, the data agrees with what we had to start with. So how do you do this? And I would claim that this could be, in principle, carried out numerically. So the first step is you take your point P, also the same thing, your point Q over here. Again, let's not worry about what's going on the other side. We take a little ball around it, and what we want to do is a conformal blow up of the geometry at each of these points. So that amounts to taking a conformal factor which blows up at P. And so what that amounts to is blasting P off to God knows where, and we get this cylinder sticking out. And so we have a cylinder for each one of these things. And as you go sufficiently far out, these things are essentially just plain old round cylinders. So you do that with the geometry. You also want to do it with the traceless part of your symmetric tensor for convenience. And one notices again that away from the blow up, this conformal factor we stuck in there is essentially one. So so we do this first. Then we want to glue the geometries by just choosing, and here's where the parameter comes in. We choose this parameter S. So we go out this some parameter of length S over 2, same thing on the other side, and then we identify these things right here. And because these things are essentially the same cylinder, you can do that geometrically. One also wants to, we want to keep track of psi, so we do that, we glue psi, that they don't agree, so we do that with some sort of a cutoff that makes things nice and smooth. Then the next step, what I thought would be easy, turned out to be a lot of work, is to try to patch the symmetric part of K. We want to patch that together. Well, we can certainly patch it together in a standard way, but then we lose the divergence free condition. So what we want to do then is show that we can find a divergence free tensor, which I'll call mu here, some sort of a Holder norm, which is arbitrarily close to the patched together one that we had, at least again away from the wormhole. And there's where a lot of the work is, and that's where we need no conformal killing fields. You have to invert various operators, etc. Then the next step is to look at the Le Chesnero equation. This is that elliptic equation for phi. Since we're in constant mean curvature, the LW stuff is gone. Needn't worry about that. So we just focus on this nonlinear elliptic equation. And again, knowing that a solution exists, that's easy. But where the work is to show that the solution we obtain is arbitrarily close away from the wormholes to what we had before. And we can do that. Reconstitute the data. Thanks. Reconstitute the data and verify the conclusions of our theorem. Okay, so that's the idea. And what do we want to do still? We need to understand more about the geometry of the wormhole. Now, you might think, since we have this parameter S and we're letting it get very long, that means that the wormhole is going to be huge. Well, when you do the conformal transformation to get your solution, in the end, it turns out, in fact, it's very small. Exactly how big it is, we still haven't done those analyses. We know that the curvature is at least well-behaved, but we don't know how big it gets. We'd like to understand that quite a bit more. We haven't said a thing about the evolution, and that's something we certainly need to think a little bit about. Again, the work of Kip and others who thought about that stuff a while ago suggests that it's just going to just blast you away within 10 to the minus 50 nanoseconds or something. But anyway, we'd still like to see what's going on. We have not yet put in matter, but I think that should be relatively straightforward. I think I know how to do it. And then there are other types of wormholes. The wormholes we're putting in are all just take your point and just have an S2 cross interval type wormhole. There are other kinds of topologies and other sorts of situations that we would like to explore and we think will work. Thank you. Oh yeah, it's going to go singular. Oh, there's no question about it. Question is if it happens, before you. Well, I mean, I think Kip, you used to talk about whether it was traversable. Could somebody go through it? And again, probably not. Yeah.
But the classical wormholes I talked about them, probably they are strictly speaking not wormholes. They're essentially spherically symmetric space-time to our center. In a sense, there are some sort of wormholes. If they are static, then energy conditions are violated.
Yeah. No static here.
They cannot be static.
Oh, no, no.
Yeah.
No, they're going
to. But if you allow them to move, then they become transversible. What is transversible in the sense that you can extend a coastal curve to values of its,
You want to get from start with P and Q. You want to be able to get from one to the other, going through this alternate path. I presume that's what one means. You guys talked about. Perhaps. I'm not too optimistic. I mean, again, we're very much focusing on the initial data here, and it works very nicely from the initial data point of view. I'm not too optimistic about what would happen to these things as you evolve. Although, again, we want to understand what happens. Eric?
Just to clarify, I'm sure I understand, it's not the topology part of the question, it's more the fact that you can match on, you can get arbitrarily close to.
Oh, sure, yeah, the topology, that's what I said for some, putting, gobs of, there's tons of solutions which have complicated topology. You can do that. So the point here was to. Pardon me? That's right. So you can. Right. So that's not at all an issue. That's why I said gluing it onto your spacetime. You choose your favorite spacetime. Presume it's globally hyperbolic, and then pick a pair of points and glue a wormhole onto that, which is smooth and which doesn't affect things very much. I should emphasize that our method here, there will be some effect. We can't make it so there's absolutely no effect away from it. There are these methods of Rick Shane and Corvino, Justin Corvino, where they're gluing, doing some other sorts of gluing, where in fact you can get away without any changes at all. This is the solutions where you have it's dead Schwarzschild outside of a sufficiently large ball. And we'd like to see if we could also apply that to these cases. Don't know yet.
Very quick question.
Okay. So what do you mean by small? How do you consider only small modifications?
You can make it arbitrarily. You can make it arbitrarily small. Is that? Pardon me. In a holder space, CK alpha, yeah. With K being anything you like.
Okay, let's play.